from KQED. From KQED Public Radio, this is Political Breakdown. I'm Marisa Lagos, coming to you from beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada.
And I'm Scott Schaefer, and today on The Breakdown, we'll talk about all that's going on with the Democrats here in the desert and talk to the woman who leads Nevada's most powerful labor union.
Yeah, first, Scott, though, we had a kind of crazy week. Let's be honest here.
A little bit Wednesday, of ping-ponging around.
Wednesday, we woke up in Sacramento, went anchored, hosted, helped out with the coverage of Gavin Newsom's second State of the State speech, then flew to Vegas for the Dem debate. So let's quickly talk about that State of the State.
Yeah, well, clearly, I mean, the governor, sort of a little bit of an aberration, he focused mostly on one topic, homelessness, a little bit about housing as well. Clearly, that is the top issue on the minds of voters in California, and the governor really wanted to dig down on that, and he laid out a broad, I would say a broad sort of blueprint for what he wants to do in terms of addressing some of the needs of people both on the street and people who are at risk of being on the street. And it was interesting that, you know, there was actually a pretty positive reaction from Republicans in the legislature.
In the building. Outside Republicans were not. People running for office were not. But I do think, yeah, that this is really sort of the start of, you know, him laying down the gauntlet, seeming to understand that this issue could really make or break his future as a politician. And so we're going to have plenty of time to chew over that moving forward. But let's talk about why we're here. We're actually standing,
we're
we should
in the
say,
parking lot
outside of
the Culinary Union. It's a kind of a cool building.
It's
very
really
historic,
cool.
Actually. And we're going to talk to the leader of the union about some of that history.
Let's set the stage here.
Yeah, so they've been in the news in the last few weeks because this union has fought for decades to get some very generous health care benefits that they've
earned. Right, they have their actually own
as
clinics
part of their,
here.
They have their own clinics. And so there was concern among a lot of members that the single-payer plan that Bernie Sanders is promoting would actually require them to let go of those benefits in exchange for the single-payer plan that, that Sanders is proposing for everyone. And there was quite a bit of dust-up over that.
Yeah, and I think we're going to hear a lot about that from Gioconda Arguello-Klein, who is the secretary-treasurer of this union. That is the head position here. But what was interesting, you know, we are in a state that has turned far more blue over recent years than it used to be. A lot of that is the growing immigrant, particularly Latino population.
And immigrants from California, too, I would say.
Yeah. But and this union, as you said, represents 60,000 workers. And they came up, I mean, maybe a dozen times, like, name-checked the Culinary Union in the debate on Wednesday night. And that just, I think, speaks to both the power of the union, but also sort of what they represent, which is this changing face of Nevada.
Exactly. And, of course, this a lot has been made of the fact that this is the first caucus or primary where it is not 90% white, which it was, of course, in Iowa and New Hampshire. And so it was interesting to see the candidates, you know, talking about different things, a little bit about immigration. Healthcare was discussed in a different way. But clearly the concerns of voters here in Nevada are, you know, somewhat different. There's overlap. But a lot of the issues, whether it's criminal justice reform and the way police deal with people of color, healthcare, environmental issues even, and environmental justice, they're felt differently in a state like Nevada than they are in, say, Iowa.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, I mean, talking a little bit more specifically about the debate, it was by far the most sort of raucous.
Fight night in Vegas.
Yeah, I mean, and I think in a way, you know, I'm sure there are people who might disagree with me, but I thought it was the most fun to watch because it felt like the candidates were really there. They were lively. They were engaged. Elizabeth Warren had, I think, a stellar night. And I think, to your point, a lot of what she was doing was speaking to those voters of color, right? Was this, you know, whether it was attacks on Michael Bloomberg over his non-disclosure agreements with young women, whether it was about stop and frisk.
Just to be clear, that was the corporation, right?
What?
That had those NDAs.
Well, I mean, they were complaints against him.
Okay.
About his behavior, and they signed NDAs. It was about comments he had made and the work culture that they felt he fostered, a hostile work environment. And she really went after him on that one. I think, you know, it was, we saw a lot of fireworks between Pete Buttigieg and Amy Klobuchar as well. I don't know. Do you think it's going to change the dynamics?
I don't know. You know, I think, you know, Bloomberg sort of parachuted in. This is the first time he has really had to face questions, and he did. I mean, you say Elizabeth Warren did well. She was really the chief prosecutor during that debate, and, you know, he is going to debate in the next one. But
which is like 4 days away. So
yeah,
close.
Yeah, and so it'll be interesting to see. He's not on the ballot in the next two races, but then Super Tuesday comes around and he is. And we'll see. I mean, obviously, I think part of the intensity last night was that there's so much on the line. I mean, you know, some of these candidates, Amy Klobuchar, Elizabeth Warren, Joe Biden, I mean, their backs are to the wall. And so last night was kind of like do or die.
Right, if you don't change it. Yeah, and I think one thing that is interesting, we know here in Nevada, sitting here on Thursday, that about 50% of eligible voters have already weighed in, or expected voters. So maybe last night's debate doesn't change much here, but in California, the numbers we talked about just a couple of weeks with voting expert Paul Mitchell are actually lower than he anticipated. About 9 or 10% of absentee ballots, vote-by-mail ballots, have been turned in California. That means a lot of people seem to be hanging on to their ballots and are waiting to make a choice, maybe even till after South Carolina.
Yeah, and it makes a lot of sense because you don't want to vote for somebody who's going to drop out, you know, before the actual Super Tuesday, March 3rd. So people are waiting to see what happens.
All right. We are too. We are going to take a short break. And when we come back, we will walk inside and talk to Gioconda Arguello-Klein. She is the head of the Culinary Union. You're listening to Political Breakdown from KQED Public Radio. Welcome back to Political Breakdown. I'm Marisa Lagos here with Scott Schaefer, and we are in Las Vegas at the Culinary Workers Union headquarters, and we're here to talk with the Secretary Treasurer of their union, Gioconda Arguello-Klein. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for inviting us.
So to put this in perspective, you guys represent 60,000 workers in Las Vegas. Can you just talk about what that means in the realm of politics? It's a pretty important not just union, but sort of organization for Nevada.
Yeah, we're the largest immigrant organization in Nevada. We represent 60,000 workers. Workers, you know, with their family and everything. Their kids, it's 135,000 people, really, you know, who live in this community. And we always contact and communicate with them. Right now, when it's the political season, the political time, we want every single worker to know what's going on with every presidential candidate. It's so important for us, you know, and it's been a long process. It's not like a process from yesterday. Last year, we started talking to the people, talking to the members inside, we did a poll first, and then we did a survey with the and asking questions about the issues they really concern in this country, what's going on right now for them, and what is affecting them. And then last year, we started inviting a presidential candidate, and this year, presidential candidates come over here. We have 7 different presidential candidates come to the union hall. We have town hall. We invite members to come. We give an opportunity to every single candidate to explaining to them how they go, what they going to do if they're going to be the president one day. That was a great scene because they have an opportunity to very close to see the candidates and talk to them. After that, we put in a scorecard, and in this scorecard, we're explaining about this candidate stand with this issue. You know, you really concerned about immigration all the time because with the largest immigrant, well, this presidential candidate say this about immigration. This presidential candidate say this about the healthcare.
And that was the one that people really care.
Yeah, and that's what the people really care, you know. Yeah. They care a lot about the healthcare. They care a lot about immigration because we have a lot of immigrants.
Give us a sense of, you have like 60,000 members, I think. Give us a sense of what is it like to work in the service industry here in Las Vegas, on the Strip and elsewhere? What's the range of things that your members do?
The members, they work inside the casinos. You know, that's like the heart of the city here. You know, the casinos provide the jobs, but the members have middle-class jobs because they've been fighting for so many decades to have the jobs. And the jobs they do, they clean rooms, you know, that we have guest room attendant, and they clean the rooms. And we have dishwashers, we have cooks, we have food servers. We have cocktail waitress, you know, we have banquet servers. they're serving the people, their hospitality industry, you know, and service industry. They're serving the people they come to Las Vegas. And they have middle-class jobs. And it's not been easy to make that job say middle-class jobs. You know, the economics for us, we always believe one job should be enough for every person to work, not running from one job to another. We feel very proud about that middle-class wages. But at the same time, they've been having, for the case, they've been fighting for having good health care. And that's one thing we really always concern and been fighting for the case. We have strikes on the city, and we have a strike for 9 months and a half. We have a strike for 6 years for mountain days for protect the health care. And right now, you know, when we present in the scorecard about the health care issue, we're explaining every member, we want to have health care for every single person. Right. We believe every person need to have health care. But we want to have an auction, and this is what every presidential candidate presented. That's what our union stand. You can have public health care, you know, the government can provide to the one they don't have, and respect the one we have, because we feel very proud about we have the best health care in Nevada.
Can we back up a little? Because you have a pretty remarkable personal story of how you ended up leading this group. I know you were born in Nicaragua and your family moved to the United States in your 20s. Can you just tell us a little bit about your childhood and why you guys, I think, basically fled the country after a revolution, right?
Yeah, we have a revolution over there, and I leave my country. You know, I was a very young woman when I came to United States. I came with my daughter and some of my family to this country, and we left the country because we want to be safe over here in United States, and I applied for political asylum. I live in this country more than 40 years, you know. And I live 24 years in my country, but all my life I've been living here in United States. And right now, tell you the truth, it's been a tough time because after 40 years, I've been feeling like when we put that scorecard inside the hotel about the healthcare, I've been receiving Twitter's threat calls saying, leave this country, you're the enemy of the country, only because we're telling the truth, the members saying, and it's a terrible feeling to see how anger people can be and how much hate it is to try to put, to you know, say anything. And what I don't like it, it's been only to the two women of colors here in the local. We have Bethany Khan, what is the communication director, and myself. And we receiving texts, phone calls, Twitters, and the only reason is because we say, okay, the presidential candidates stand like this in your health care. You had to decide.
Was this a specific candidate supporters, Bernie Sanders supporters?
Yes. You know, it's the followers of Senator Sanders, and I think that's their style, to try to intimidate women and to intimidate minorities. And last night when I was to the debate, because I heard what Senator Sanders say, he said, too, oh, you know, we know it's bad people around, and he said, two African-American women who work in my campaign, they're going through millions of harassments. Well, my answer is this. We have to stop people harass people. First, I don't work for any political candidate. I don't. Mm-hmm. I don't work for that. I really represent the members, and that's what I have my first responsibility in this union is to tell the truth to the members, to tell the facts. And I feel like we have to be stronger with his followers because that not going to go nothing benefit to anybody in this country. When you live in this country for 40 years, and I'm being every single day working in my life, you know, I work, and I've been in the culinary union, I've been for 30 years, I'm being in march, I'm being in rallies, in civil disobedience. not only in Las Vegas, I've been in another state doing that type of demonstration. My family, they never been concerned. Never. But now, I was at the Palms rally yesterday. My son sent me a text. Please be careful at the rally. That kind of switch in my life, I'm very upset about that switch in my life. But that's not going to stop me. And that no intimidate me. Well, they made me stronger because I see the difference how they treat the women of colors and how they treat the president. The president not receive one Twitter, one phone call, one nothing. The president of the union. Yeah.
You came to the United States as a young woman, and you left as a political refugee. You left Nicaragua. Yeah. What do you remember from that, and what did your experience in Nicaragua, do you think, affect the way you look at politics in this country?
I don't think affect me in nothing when I've been in the union for 30 years and I've been willing to do civil disobedience for fighting for workers and for justice. I know what the families needs. My father is my father. He was the one who worked, in the government. It's my father. I respect, I love my father. I will do whatever I need to do for my dad. If he's still alive, but he passed away. But I've been in 30 years, the only thing I've been doing is fighting for the working people, fighting for a better life, be with them in every line. I was one of the lead organizers in the Frontier Strike.
Talk about that, because that's remarkable. 6 years you guys were on strike?
The Frontier Striker, the heroes, they were 6 years, 4 months, 10 days.
Was that over health care also?
And they was fighting for health care. And if you had 30 years of your life, willing to do whatever it takes to have a better life for people, and for myself, I feel like I have a daughter who have a health condition. And that motivated me when I was a rank and file committee leader to fight for healthcare.
Is that kind of what got you into the leadership?
That's what I started to get involved in the union. And when people attack me and say, I don't want to have healthcare for another people, when I've been saying we want to have a public auction for people have healthcare, and I know what it is to be a mother when you have a kid sick. Don't tell me that. I've been fighting for people have public auction to have healthcare, but I've been fighting for my union, and the union is the one who fights so hard. The member fights so hard to get this healthcare. The only thing we're asking is for an auction, for a choice. That's it. But don't attack us for tell the truth, please.
I'm wondering what you think, because the healthcare issue really is the boiling point for the relationship with Bernie Sanders and some of the back and forth that you talked about. I'm wondering if you feel, because I'm sure the leaders of the union feel one way, perhaps, but then the members, and you have a lot of members, might feel differently about candidates. So the union chose not to endorse anybody. Tell us about that. First of all, why did you decide not to endorse anyone?
We don't endorse anybody because we respect every single different candidate. And it's not the first time we don't endorse. That's the thing. It's not the first time. We make a decision we really focus in our goals. Our goal is one job to be enough for every family, and we want to have a presidential candidate who fight for this country, give it to the working class what they need, not only for the rich. And right now we have a president who only care about the rich. We want to have a president who do things for the immigration reform. And we have 11 million people where they don't have anything in life, only fears to get deported. And I was in that shape before because I have a parole, and I don't know when my parole gonna be expired and no give me anymore my permit. I fighting with all my heart about that situation because I know what it is to live in that situation. But I know what it is to when you're fighting really hard for your health insurance and being with the Frontier Strikers and the picket line, fighting for that. We are really the only thing we've been saying to the members is the facts. The members have the right to decide. We respect the members. And the members will decide what political candidate they want. And we will, at the end, What we're going to do is knocking doors, make phone calls, organize, be sure to defeat President Trump. Doesn't matter who is the Democratic candidate, because we care about what happened in this country. You know, I really, when somebody say and accuse the unions, you know, for saying, oh, you know, want for the rest of the people, we've been saying from day one, we want to have a choice. We want to have a public, health care for the people who don't have health care and or government health care. I don't know how they can call and give it to the members the option to they decide they want to keep them. Their own health care. But that's the one-way street, and, you know, that's the disagreement. But my agreement is we're going to defeat Trump.
If you're just joining us, I'm Marisa Lagos, here with Scott Schaefer. We are sitting down in Las Vegas with Gikonda Arguello-Klein. She is the head of the Culinary Workers Union. And, you know, Gio, this state has changed dramatically. I think some people see it as sort of the future of the way the rest of the country could be changing in terms of the growing immigrant population, Latinos especially, in terms of it becoming more democratic. Can you talk about how politics have changed in Nevada since you started getting involved at the union? Does it feel different in 2020, putting the healthcare stuff aside maybe, but for Democrats?
I think, at least I can tell you about the union. You know, we are a very strong political organization. We take really serious, the elections, because we know what affecting the state, what affecting us federal. The federal government make a lot of decision for us. We want to have leaders who they really care about what happening to us in Nevada and what happened in the rest of the country. That's why we take the time. We have 1,000 chop stewards inside the casinos, and we have the internal organizers, and we take the time to explain to everybody, look, we need to have this leader because supporting you and these issues, you're really affecting your family, my family, and all us together. When we vote, we don't vote for one person. We always explain in the members. Sometimes one house, you have 2 people, they citizen, but 5, they living in the house. And we explain in the people, if you don't vote, you're affecting all your family. You had to go vote because if you had that right, you know, and other people in the past really sacrificed for we had this right, and you now have in your hand the future of your entire family who live in home, you need to go vote. Take the time. And what we do is make phone calls, sending texts, leaflet in different language. You know, we have Tagalog, American, Chinese, Spanish, English, to communicate with the members. Do they know what's going on? And they made the right decision when they vote. And that's what we do.
So Nevada has a caucus, and we had early voting, and I know you had people early voting here in the last week or so. What's going to happen on Saturday night, and how will the union be participating in that? Because we saw what happened in Iowa. There was a lot of confusion. Are you confident that things are going to go smoothly on Saturday?
I think the early voting has been helping a lot. We have, I think, over 70,000 people already, they in these 4 days. Do their vote. I think Saturday we had I'm a positive person, and I believe, people is working really hard to have a successful caucus, but it's very important they show up. Really, really important they show up because we have a president who we need to defeat and remove him. You know, we cannot live in the way we're living in this country with division and hate. That's not what we want for the next 4 years. And we had to sink in that 11 million people, they need to have an immigration reform. And we had to have a candidate who's going to fight for have one job to be enough. And we want to have, we're going to work very hard, we're working and putting our message. We want to have a public choice. If you need the health care, enjoy your public government health care, and if you keep our own health care. But at the end, we're going to join the the Democratic candidate, and we go into work hard, you know, we do all the time to defeat
President Trump. Your union is so organized, and you've done, you know, so well in getting your members to participate. What do other unions in other states, like, what do they have to learn from the Culinary Union?
Well, I think we're learning from each other. For me, I think everybody has something to offer. Everybody has their own members, and they know what they're doing with their members. But we know we are in right-to-work state, and we have to organize every single day. It's the only way we can keep a 90% of membership in the casinos. You know, people, that they know the union is stronger when the members, they are stronger. And we disagree and agree. We, you know, it's part of life. You know, not everybody thinking and see the same color, or you like the same color, like everybody like the same color. You know, we brothers and sisters, and like brothers and sisters, we got together, and when we need to fight together against a company, we go together. And when we don't agree, we don't agree. But our job is, we're going to put the facts, you like it or not. You decide. And a lot of times that way, you know, when we have negotiations and we are in negotiation, some people agree, some people disagree, but at the end they vote. If the majority agree to recommend the contract, they will recommend the contract to the workers. And then we bring the workers. You know, if the majority agree to accept the contract, they accept the contract. If they don't agree, they have to be willing to fight. And then when we had the big fights, we had 25,000 people at the Thomas Mack. If the majority agreed to go strike, we're going to go strike. If they don't agree to go strike, we're not going to go strike.
It's a hardship.
You know, it's a very hard decisions all the time to make in life. That's what the union is about. And us, we always going to tell the truth to the members. People don't like it or like it, you know, but the truth is the truth. And we're not going to stop, you know. Nobody intimidate us.
Do you feel that the membership seems more energized than they were in 2016? Does it feel any different?
I think they see a lot of candidates, you know. And they even ask me, I say, look, I know we're not endorsing this year. You have your information. You're going to make a decision. And you know what you need to do. You know, and they come in. Sometimes I'm there, and, you know, when I was voting, and asked me, hey, who are you going to vote? I said, that's my vote. You have yours.
But are they excited, do you think?
I think, well, we've been having good turnout so far, yeah. You know, to electing the candidate, and I hope Saturday everybody show up.
All right. Thank you so much, Gioconda Arguello-Klein. She is the head of the Culinary Union.
Thank you.
All right, that's a wrap for this week's Political Breakdown from Vegas, baby. Our producer is Guy Marzorati, and our engineer is Seal Muller.
KQED's leadership team includes Holly Kernan, Ethan Lindsay, Vinnie Tong, Jonathan Blakely, and Julie Kane. I'm Scott Schaefer. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Scott Schaefer.
And I'm Maurice Lagos. You can find me on Twitter at mlagos. That is a wrap for this week's Political Breakdown. We'll see you after the Democratic caucuses.